What's up, everybody? Wrestling Uncensored is live tonight. We preview WWE SummerSlam, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, last match, last man standing. Johnny North is here. We watch SmackDown. Let's talk about wrestling. Because that is what we do here on a Friday night on Wrestling Uncensored here on the Ringside Report Network. I'm Dave. He's Johnny. We've been doing this for years. You know the deal. Friday night, 10 o'clock, we watch SmackDown. We talk to you. We talk about wrestling. Join.ringsidereport.net is what you need to do if you are not a member already. Or donate.ringsidereport.net as well. Support the channel. Support Johnny. Support Dave. Support professional wrestling and mixed martial arts right here for you on the Ringside Report Network. We'll be back with you tomorrow night to cover not only WWE SummerSlam, but UFC 277 as well. We'll be watching UFC 277 pay-per-view and SummerSlam with you live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night. As, yep, it's another one of those UFC pay-per-views and WWE pay-per-views at the same damn time. Juliana Pena versus Amanda Nunes and Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. The main event's going tomorrow night. I did the UFC 277 preview last night with my buddy AJ. Shout out to AJ, who of course goes by Danny Brook Media on his social media accounts. And I'm sure AJ was real excited about the good old-fashioned Donnybrook that we had tonight on SmackDown. They actually called it a Donnybrook. I'm sure AJ thinks that was ripped off from AJ, you know. I'm sure he thinks Triple H is watching AJ and he sees Donnybrook, so he thinks, oh, Donnybrook. But no, I think this was an original concept, I guess. It was a pretty good match to start off SmackDown tonight. I liked it. And it sets up Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns at the Clash at the Castle in September in Wales, where they do a pay-per-view there in Wales. Now, I say Roman Reigns. Of course, it could be Brock Lesnar. It could be Austin Theory. It could be a variety of people. You never know who it might be. But, let's get into it. Let's get into SummerSlam. Johnny North is here. First of all, how are you, Johnny? How you feeling tonight?
It's kind of weird. You know, it's end of July and we're going into SummerSlam. You know, I told people about this, like SummerSlam is tomorrow. And they're like, what? It's not August. But here we are.
Yeah, it's true. It used to be kind of end of August. Now they are doing nothing in August. There's no WWE pay-per-view in the month of August. The next pay-per-view will be that one in Wales, the Castle deal with Drew. And that's in early September the 4th, I think it is.
I think the 3rd.
Okay, fine.
Days are important. You're going to miss it.
No, you're right. You're right. Fine, if you think it's the 3rd, maybe it is the 3rd. Oh, my God. The Kansas City Royals defense is falling apart right now. The Yankees just scored. They keep getting, it's like the third straight infield single that the Yankees have got here in Kansas against the Royals in the Bronx. It was 5-3. It's now 5-4, Kansas City. Sorry, I'm watching the Yankee game as well. Big season for the Yankees. Loving it. Wow. The Royals are just falling apart here in the eighth. You love to see it. I love to see it. What do you think here, WWE SummerSlam? Are you excited overall for the card? Let me run down the card, and then maybe you'll get excited after I tell you what's happening. I know my buddy AJ's excited because Logan Paul will be wrestling his first one-on-one match in the WWE. Logan Paul versus The Miz. That's some serious celebrity involvement there for the show. You got Logan Paul. Liv Morgan will be defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Ronda Rousey. Bobby Lashley defending the WWE United States title against Theory. Pat McAfee wrestling Happy Corbin. the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic, taking on Damian Priest and Finn Balor in a no disqualification tag team match. The Usos defending the undisputed WWE tag team titles against the Street Profits with Jeff Jarrett, Double J, as a special referee. Bianca Belair defending the Raw Championship against Becky Lynch. And, of course, Roman Reigns defending the undisputed Universal title in a last-man-standing match against Brock Lesnar in the main event. How do you feel? You excited? I mean, I'm more excited for the UFC pay-per-view tomorrow night. This SummerSlam card is not doing too much for me.
I mean, on paper, it's not the greatest card they've ever put out, even this year. But usually these pay-per-views where I'm actually less excited for, they usually deliver quite well. And you got to understand, too, it's going to be in a stadium. The atmosphere is going to be quite electric, I imagine. So usually WWE pulls out some pretty great shows when it's a big moment like this. Like, this is the last time you'll see Roman and Brock, hopefully, fingers crossed. And probably the last time you'll see Bianca and Becky, I think, wrestle for at least a while. They give them a bit of a break. So I think a lot of the matches will be good, to be honest. I mean, will be the best pay-per-view, I don't know. But I think overall you get to see some good wrestling.
I hope so. I don't know. I think it's possible, but I think some of the matches could be outright stinkers. You know, like Logan Paul versus The Miz could be terrible. Bobby Lashley versus Theory, I don't know how good that can be. You know, Corbin versus McAfee. Yeah, it was bad at Money in the Bank. Corbin and McAfee, I mean, how good could that be? There's a few matches on this that it's like, well, you're saying it's going to be good wrestling, but you think Corbin McAfee could be good?
Yeah, I think, well, just, you know, McAfee has shown in the past, like, he can have good matches. And if he's wrestling his friend, usually when you wrestle your friend, you usually have an even better match. So
his friend isn't a wrestler, though.
You have to wait and see. Like, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt because he's proven himself so far.
I'm not sure about that. I haven't been impressed. Pat McAfee in the ring has proven himself?
I feel like he did at WrestleMania. I thought he had a solid performance.
Getting beat up by Vince McMahon.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it wasn't...
In theory as well.
It wasn't great. Business picked up when Austin showed up, you know? The Mysterios against Damian Priest and Finn Balor. I mean, the match could be good, but... Usos against Street Profits, again, could be good. But we've seen this so many times, it's hard to care.
I'm not going to disagree. It's been overdone.
I mean, Liv and Ronda? What's that going to look like?
Ronda was very good tonight.
Ronda's great.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Ronda does. Like, Ronda, like, her intensity tonight, no one can outmatch her intensity. Like, to me, it's like, man, Liv should get destroyed in this match. Like, there's no contest to me. Like, how are they going to pull this off is the way I'm looking at this. It's not like how good this is going to be. It's like, how can Liv survive like more than 10 seconds?
And it makes sense, right? How can they have a match where Liv survives and you can buy it? Right?
Well, the way I look at it, Liv comes out, she's all like smiling, happy, you know, slapping people's hands and all this. And it's like, Ronda comes out and she's like, man, she wants to kill. So Liv's got to change her attitude or something. Like, I don't know how they're going to pull this off, but I'm interested to see what's going to happen here.
Ronda and Liv were on TV tonight together. It was not great.
Weird.
Ronda and Liv were backstage posing together just for pictures, right? Which is not something you see often in WWE. And
not
then
for promos.
Yeah, not for promos. It's very weird. Natty and Sonya Deville show up and get in their face, get in Ronda and Liv's face and say, oh, we should be the champions or challenging or whatever. And then in the middle of the promo, Ronda just leaves and goes to the ring. And then we see Shotzi, and it cuts to Shotzi, like, laughing maniacally in the ring. And I think commentary was trying to say that Shotzi was saying things about Ronda, but nobody heard it.
I didn't hear it.
I heard nothing. And then Ronda,
she was bashing Aaliyah.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell was happening. And then Ronda shows up and attacks Shotzi and says, bye, Shotzi, gets rid of Shotzi. And then says, a lot of chicks are talking about being in the title picture and deserving things. Liv Morgan, why don't you come out here and we'll show them why they're not in the title picture and we are. And then at one point, there's a fan, apparently. I guess we didn't hear the fan, but obviously,
I heard shut up.
I didn't hear shut up. I didn't hear that.
I heard shut up.
All I heard was Ronda say, you shut up. Your mom failed you.
Yeah, I heard that too.
A fan said, shut up, apparently, to Ronda, and then she responded on the live mic, you shut up, your mom failed you. You shut up is one thing. Your mom failed you. It's like, whoa, Ronda. Ronda getting mad tonight. Heated, Ronda. I liked
That's great.
Like you said, the intensity.
Yeah. And the fans were behind her, too. More Ronda than anyone there.
She's a star. She's Ronda. She's a legend.
Well, she's more believable than everyone else in that ring.
Yeah. Especially after we sat through a Shotzi versus Aaliyah match. You know?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Like,
but
Shotzi,
to be fair, that wasn't supposed to happen.
It was the low part of the show.
Got booked last minute. Like,
still.
They were stuck.
What happened?
I know. Well, you kind of made mention Lacey Evans. Apparently, she couldn't get medically cleared. We don't know what happened exactly, but she couldn't make it on the show. So they had to put that match on instead.
It's kind of weird, though, because WWE's own Twitter at 5 p.m. when SmackDown's on at 8, so we're talking 3 hours before the show, they're promoting Lacey Evans versus Aaliyah. How does she get medically stopped from competing or being on the show 3 hours before the show starts? What happened? Is Lacey okay? All commentary said was Lacey's not medically cleared to compete, so instead we give you Shotzi versus Aaliyah. Even though for like a month we've been doing this Lacey-Aaliyah program, and this is supposed to be the payoff match tonight, we're going to give you Shotzi instead. Kiner Falefa driving in the go-ahead run. Yankees up 6-5 now in the bottom of the eighth. Coming all the way back. Let's go! Love to see it. Love it. But I hope Lacey's all right. What happened?
Well, it could be a number of things. You know, you're stretching, you know, you pull something possibly. You know, maybe you just felt ill for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, precautions. I mean, that kind of match, I mean, if there was any kind of problem, was she really necessary for her to finish this feud right now? I don't think so. I think we can wait a week or two. It's not like demanding that, oh, we got to see this match finally.
No, I don't think anybody really cared. But watching Shotzi and Aaliyah wasn't great. And then seeing Ronda afterwards was like, oh, well, this is a more serious presentation. And then also when you compare Ronda not only to Shotzi and Aaliyah, but to Liv Morgan and Natty and Sonya Deville, she's a much more believable character than any of those.
Well, and she's on another level. I mean,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
She could wrestle the guys and like you'd believe it. That's the thing, you know? So it's like,
oh yeah,
it's no competition practically. Like, it shouldn't be Ronda versus Liv. It should be like Ronda versus Liv versus Natty versus Sonya. That's the only way to make it kind of even, in my opinion.
Yeah, to give you a reason to think that Ronda might lose but not get pinned, right?
Right.
If it's a four-way, Natty could take the fall and Ronda could not win the match. But that's not the case here. Ronda has to get beat for us to move on. There's got to be some kind of interference.
Oh, definitely.
Or Ronda doesn't get beat.
just takes it back. I wouldn't mind it, to be honest, but it's kind of weird. You just pushed Liv out of nowhere, and then you just quickly take it away. I mean, they did it to Nikki A.S.H. last year, but yeah. Like, you just built someone up just to take it away that quick. I don't know. It seems weird. I would think maybe Charlotte would come back, cause some sort of interference. I mean, she's in Nashville anyways, right? So
maybe Charlotte comes back, costs Ronda the match, and says, you know, I want an easier challenge. I don't want to face Ronda. I want to beat Liv. So well, easy.
We got a three-way possibly at Castle Show.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they take it off Liv here because they just put it on her 3 weeks ago. But at the same time, I don't see Liv Morgan beating Ronda Rousey clean. There's got to be some kind of interference. And if she does beat her clean, like, what the hell? What are you doing? Right? They can't do that. It just doesn't make sense. But we both see Liv retaining somehow. She might not win the match. She might win the match by disqualification, or there might be something going on. She'll retain the title, but Ronda will not get pinned 1-2-3, right?
Right. Official prediction.
Well, maybe she will get pinned, but it'll be after, like, Charlotte hits her in the back of the head with a chair. Like, that's possible. Liv did pin her at the Money in the Bank. She pinned her. Which even that is not that believable. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, usually Money in the Bank, you cash in. It's like a fast win, and that's how it works when you cash in. And Ronda just had a tough match with Natty, I guess. But Liv Morgan coming in and beating Ronda in like 30 seconds the way she did at Money in the Bank was still kind of, you got to suspend that disbelief a little bit. She's going to pin Ronda.
Was garbage. Ronda's shoulders weren't even down, but they still counted three.
I don't care what kind of tough match Ronda just had. Ronda could get knocked out by Holly Holm, come back, and still beat Liv Morgan. You know?
Boy, yes.
It's just not that believable.
Not going to disagree. Not going to disagree with you on who's tougher, you know, Ronda or Liv. There's no contest in that one.
I mean, Ronda got knocked out by Holly Holm. Liv Morgan got knocked out by Brie Bella. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Let's be honest here. You remember that? It happened.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? You think Brie Bella could ever generate enough force, even if Ronda didn't see it coming, that a kick could knock out Ronda Rousey from Brie Bella? Ever in her life? I don't think so. I'd be surprised.
Well, Ronda would never be in that position like how Liv was, you know?
Even if she was. I don't think Ronda would go down. Because she's tougher. She's, real athlete. Olympic athlete. She's a different level. Liv Morgan's fine, but she's not, you know, Ronda Rousey. DJ Bourne says DQ. That makes sense. Some kind of DQ. Something going on. Maybe interference from like Natty and Shotzi and Sonya, you know? Maybe they run in.
Liv's going to need it, without question.
Yeah.
But that's what makes this interesting. It's not about the quality of the wrestling for this match. It's like, how are they going to book this?
And how long does it last before somebody comes out to cause that interference, right? How long does it last?
I wouldn't say too long.
No, I wouldn't say that either. I would say probably pretty short before something happens. Because it's not that believable for Ronda to be in there with you, beating you up, and not finishing the job. How can Liv really survive?
5 to 7 minutes, I think. That's what it should be.
Yeah. How about the other women's title match? Yeah, go ahead. What?
This is SummerSlam, so they might drag stuff out unnecessarily, but they might do it. You saw Money in the Bank; they kind of dragged a lot of matches for no reason.
They'll give Bianca and Becky tons of time. I don't think Ronda and Liv will get a lot of time.
It's the perfect match for that in between, like, big matches. You know,
Mm-hmm. Liv and Ronda?
Yeah.
Bianca and Becky. So we both think Ronda looks good, doesn't get beat clean, but Liv walks out champion. How about Bianca and Becky? This is the trilogy. Last year, Becky returned, beat Bianca. They wrestled at WrestleMania. Bianca took the title back. Here they are a year later, Becky and Bianca one more time for the Raw title. I feel like if Bianca wins, Becky doesn't have that much to do. What does Becky do if she loses to Bianca here? She's kind of challenged for the belt and been in that mix for so long. Oh, Aaron Judge! Grand Slam, baby! All rise! What is that? 41st home run of the season. It's not even August. Ooh! I saw Aaron Judge coming up to bat, bases loaded. I thought, yeah, he's taking it out. Grand Slam! Holy shit! Give this man his money. What a champion! Grand Slam! 41st of the season. Ba-boom! This guy's too much. Walk-off home run last night in the bottom of the ninth to win 1-0. Aaron Judge won the game with one swing of the bat. And now a grand slam to make it 11-5 for the Yankees. They were down 5-3 when this inning started. They were down 5-3 when this inning started. They scored 8, including the 4 runs that Aaron Judge just drove in with a grand slam. Jeez. Total collapse by the Kansas City Royals. Once again, I'll say it again. You'll love to see it. Wow. I'm watching that way more than Rampage, I got to be honest.
Well, I saw the Best Friends one.
Yeah.
The opening match.
They beat the...
Jay Lethal.
Yeah. Sanjay. Did Satnam Singh get in the ring too much? I didn't see too much of him. It was mostly Sanjay and Jay Lethal.
He had a little exchange with Orange, but not too much.
I want to see more of him. I want to see how bad he is, or maybe how good he is. Because he's gigantic, you know? That's always good.
Like, I just haven't seen enough to really say. He seems okay for what he can do.
All right. I was talking about Bianca and Becky before Aaron Judge hit a grand slam. I got distracted. I wonder what Becky does if she doesn't win. And I feel like she's not going to win. Maybe she goes over to SmackDown and starts doing stuff over there. I don't know. But I think Bianca retains.
Well, it's just because Bianca had that thing with Rhea. And that never happened yet, so I feel like they have to do that. So, and that could be at the Clash.
Mm-hmm.
So,
ooh. Yeah, that'd be good.
So I think, and this is also Bianca's, like, the whole story of this is her redemption, right? So, they're really big on her as, like, the next big star, and she's pretty much there. This will just help solidify that, I think, with the victory. Becky's already made, so. I think Bianca wins.
I agree with you. And the whole trajectory for Bianca, yeah, her and Rhea Ripley, you could do several pay-per-views of that. That seems like the future of the division. But then what do you do with Becky? Especially on Raw.
We do have a draft coming up.
Yeah, you got to move her off Raw, I think.
So do we even need a draft? I mean, people just show up on Raw and SmackDown anyways. It doesn't even matter. Drew wrestled on SmackDown and Raw this week, so does it matter really? No.
Sitting here, SummerSlam is tomorrow night. We're talking about Becky Lynch. We're talking about Ronda Rousey. Do you think that Becky and Ronda is still the plan for WrestleMania next year? Because as we're sitting 100%. Here, I mean, they have to go a long way to get there. Ronda's got to get the belt back. Becky's got to find her way to SmackDown. Like, They got to start working their way there. I mean, not soon. They still have a lot of time, but I'm starting to wonder if it's still the plan. I'm not sure anymore, because now it's like, well, it's a lot of different players in the mix. And if it's Becky and Ronda, like, what do you do with everybody else? I don't know.
Well, I completely believe Becky and Ronda at WrestleMania. Definitely. It should have happened this year, to be honest. But, you know, they went a different direction. But that has to be the match, really, when you think about it, because that's the match people wanted before. People didn't get. When you think of, like, the top stars in terms of, like, in the women's division, that's the match we never really got, right? We kind of got screwed out of it. We got the triple threat match instead.
Yeah.
So it's to finally give it to us, actually. I think they have to do it, to be honest, at WrestleMania.
But is it that match that people really want to see now? I'm looking at Bianca Belair. If she beats Becky Lynch here at SummerSlam, as good as she looks, as steadily as she's improving, as impressive as she is physically, I think her and Ronda would be a very interesting match, too. And I'm not sure that you don't go in that direction for WrestleMania. That could be bigger.
It's a good match. I see them maybe even do it before WrestleMania. Cause to me, it's Bianca. Like, she got through Becky more than once. And now the next challenge to take down the other one, which is Charlotte. That's really the last step to prove herself. I think that's her WrestleMania match.
It makes sense. Charlotte would be a big one. And then there's always Bayley in the background. You know, does she come back? What happens when she does?
Well, three ways can happen, four ways as well. You know, it's not impossible with that. Does it need to be one-on-one like Bianca and Charlotte? Not right away. It could be later on.
Mm-hmm. So we both have Bianca Belair retaining. We both have Liv Morgan retaining. I wonder if we see any title changes here at SummerSlam. We've got to see one or two, right? Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory. Is this a title change?
I don't think so, but this is the match I look forward to the least, because this match was awful at Money in the Bank. And I don't see how it could be much better. I hope they've done enough like live events where they've actually worked on the match and it's gotten better, because it was so bad at Money in the Bank. I just hope it's not as bad as they've actually improved it, because it needs to be better than this. So bad. Boring. Beyond boring.
I agree.
It makes me want to turn it off, to be honest. It was that bad.
I'm disappointed. Like, I'm disappointed that we have to see this match again. Yeah, you are a big Bobby Lashley fan. I'm surprised you're going so hard in your hatred for this match, but I think that just says bad that match was. It was really not great.
Their chemistry is so bad. Like, they don't mix whatsoever. It's too bad.
I could see Theory taking the belt back, because I don't know. Does Lashley need the U.S. title? Give it to Theory. I mean, I guess he's got the Money in the Bank.
Right.
But, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Lashley just took it from Theory at Money in the Bank, right? So it would be weird to drop it back, but I'm starting to wonder here, like, who drops a belt at SummerSlam? If it's not Lashley, is it the Usos? Is it Liv Morgan? Or does nobody drop a title at SummerSlam? Does everything just kind of remain status quo? I feel like after a big pay-per-view like SummerSlam, it shouldn't be, everything's the same. Something should have changed, no? Something usually does.
To me, if any title changes hands, I think it might be the tag titles. And, like, you can easily just do a rematch. The Usos can get it back at the Castle show. See, to me, it's Clash at the Castle. That's where you want to see title changes, because it's going to be over 70,000 people. This is, what, 40,000? You get one title change at best.
So who is it? The tag? I don't see the Usos dropping the belts now. To the Street Profits? I mean, maybe that's the reason why We've had so many matches because eventually they're going to give it to the Street Profits. It's possible. I don't think it's Lashley, though. I think Lashley beats Theory.
Yeah.
Do the Usos beat the Street Profits or do the Street Profits beat the Usos? Tonight, we saw an in-ring promo from both teams with the special referee, Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett ate a super kick from Jey Uso accidentally. Jimmy tried to explain it to Jeff, but Jeff pushed one of the pushed Jimmy Uso, and then the Street Profits pushed them out of the ring, and Montez did a dive. Profits stood tall on SmackDown, which does not mean that they're going to lose at SummerSlam. Don't forget, I mean, Liv Morgan won several matches the week of Money in the Bank, then won the Money in the Bank ladder match, then cashed in Money in the Bank. So just because you're losing stuff or looking weak, or sorry, just because you're winning stuff and looking strong doesn't mean you're going to lose at the pay-per-view, which used to be kind of a tell, but it's not always the case. So Street Profits look strong tonight. Do they look strong again tomorrow night? And does Jeff Jarrett help them as the referee?
See, there's a lot of factors in this one. Like, will Jeff Jarrett maybe side with the Bloodline possibly? Is he going to be a crooked ref? That's one way out. They could do it. Also, like, I don't know if this was, like, a mistake. I feel like maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't. The fact that the Street Profits were kind of off in their promo, like when they said, we want the smoke, like Dawkins did it way too early. And then Montez did it, like, a little bit afterwards. Felt like they were completely not in sync. And was that, like, a telling sign where it's like they're not on the same page kind of thing? And this is where we might see them break up tomorrow.
Maybe. I doubt that they break up as a team. Why?
I mean, you got the Viking Raiders coming up. You know, Lost Mysterios are kind of pushing them now. Like, you don't need that many tag teams. And they keep talking about how, like, Montez Ford is going to be the next big star. And you want a big moment. There's a big moment. And that finally kills this whole Uso Street Profits we've been stuck in for like weeks and weeks.
I mean, sure. I'm not that in love with the Street Profits as a tag team that I need to see them remain a tag team until the end of time. Like, if they want to try Montez as a single star, go for it. I don't really believe in it, but hey, if they want to try it, be my guest. Go ahead. So the Usos retain? I think they retain,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. But, I mean, they could easily drop it and then win them back at the Castle Show, too. That's very possible. But I feel they're going to retain.
So nobody's losing a belt at SummerSlam. Everybody retains. Because the only other title match... Only other title match, John, is Roman and Brock, and I know Roman's not losing.
You don't think Theory will do the cash-in?
No.
I agree.
I think he might attempt.
Maybe he might tease. You're right.
Yeah, but look at all these guys he's pissing off on the way there. Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler. There's somebody else that he got into it with,
well,
isn't
the Usos.
It? The Usos, but it wasn't... Well, Drew and Dolph Ziggler are kind of the main guys.
Well, one from Raw, one from SmackDown, the upsets. Upset Madcap a little bit, too.
Madcap Moss, remember, he talked about Madcap in a promo tonight. He's like, oh, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss, they're all jealous because I'm going to be the youngest champion. And of course, Roman's got the Usos to back him up, too. There's so many guys that could stop Theory if he decides to cash in. We had Theory tonight getting attacked.
AJ's got Brock. Wow.
Huh?
AJ's picking Brock. I think AJ's picking Ronda too, more than likely.
Oh, in the chat, AJ thinks Brock will win? Yeah, well, AJ doesn't know shit about wrestling, so what the hell? You listen to AJ for.
It's nice to get people's picks. It's nice.
Yeah, but Brock's not winning. The main event of SmackDown was Paul Heyman cutting a promo about Roman Reigns beating Brock at SummerSlam. Roman was not on SmackDown tonight. He was on Raw this week. He actually wrestled on Raw this week in the main event
with his cousins.
Yeah, at Madison Square Garden. Got a promo, too. His promo was pretty good on Raw. I liked Roman's promo. The match was, you know, whatever. Bloodline beat Riddle in the Street Profits. Roman hit the spear on Riddle for the win. I don't know if you noticed, but Riddle's shoulder was up and the referee just put it down. That's not...
He counted four.
Did he count four?
He counted four, yeah.
That's good. And then Seth Rollins showed up and he attacked Riddle and beat up Riddle so badly that Riddle is now storyline injured. And the match between Seth and Riddle has been canceled. Just kind of weird.
Which is fine.
I mean, it's fine, but it's odd that they went in that direction. But that's fine.
Or
I didn't need
the Castle show.
Yeah, I didn't need Seth versus Riddle. But Roman wrestled on Raw. He also appeared on Raw, did a promo, but was not on SmackDown tonight. Roman's promo was good. He opened up Raw. Well, I guess Logan Paul and The Miz were brawling in the ring for some reason, and that opened up Raw. But Roman was the real opening segment. Says MSG, acknowledge me. Hands the mic to Paul Heyman, says he doesn't feel like talking. Heyman talking about New York City being the capital of the island of relevancy and Madison Square Garden is the city hall. And then Austin Theory came out and talked about cashing in the Money in the Bank. And I like that Roman had kind of invited him in to the ring and said, come on, don't be scared. You're talking all that stuff. Come to the ring. And
first time
telling him he needs advice. Yeah. First time standing with your tribal chief. Come acknowledge me, you know, it was good. It was really good stuff. And then the bloodline went to leave and Jey Uso slapped Theory in the back of the head and Theory didn't back down. He hit Uso with the briefcase and then Uso wanted to fight, but Roman held him back, and they just kind of walked away. Theory, in that segment, looked like a brave babyface character, right? Like, it was a weird... I mean, he's going in there against the supposed top heel on the brand, Roman Reigns, and his goons. He's going in there by himself, with a weapon, but still against several men. Standing his ground, not like backing away, and when an Uso slapped him, he attacked. I was like, oh, maybe Theory's kind of turning babyface, maybe they're doing a babyface run with him, but then they go to commercial and they come back and Theory is cutting a heel promo on the crowd and then he wrestles Drew McIntyre and loses and then wrestles in a tag team match. That really dragged on Raw. I hate when they do that, when it's like, oh, it's Drew versus Theory. And then Sheamus and Ridge Holland and Butch hit the ring. And then Bobby, and then that causes disqualification. So Bobby Lashley shows up, makes the save. And then Lashley and Drew beat Theory and Sheamus. Theory got distracted by Dolph Ziggler, who was ringside, and tapped out to Bobby's Hurt Lock. And then the Usos met Theory on the ramp there, kicked him in the head with a super kick, and Roman showed up, and he's like, hey, here's your briefcase. Make sure you bring it with you Sunday when you cash in. Roman is even confused because the pay-per-view's on Saturday, but Roman said Sunday. We're all used to these pay-per-views on Sunday, even Roman.
That's it. It's easy to make that mistake.
But that was really boring. All that stuff on Raw. Like, the Roman promo was fine, but as soon as the matches started, it was like, what? And it did feel like Theory was kind of turning babyface, and then immediately when you come back from commercial, it's like a different story. Because Roman is a heel, right?
I felt a bit of a face. Like, you got people chanting, who's your daddy? Like, that got over huge, actually.
Yeah.
I find people just despise Theory so much. Even if they try to make him a face, they'll still boo him. Like, he gets the what chance louder than anyone else. Like, people have that go away, like, kind of feel when Theory comes out. And I understand it. Like, it's like they don't really want him around whatsoever.
Yeah, he's not that interesting, and I don't really, you know, it's not great.
He's being forced, you know?
Yeah.
People don't like that.
That's it. We don't like when you force somebody to be, like, the next big star. We're like, yeah, I don't know. And, yeah, I forgot about that. Roman told Theory, you know, your daddy's not here anymore, referring to Vince. That was the only Vince reference on WWE TV this week. Roman Reigns saying your daddy's not here anymore. It was a pretty good line.
Didn't Heyman? I felt Heyman said something too about like someone being gone, because like the crowd was saying something or the mic wasn't working. And he's think it was like because he said the boom mic guy. Like,
yeah, whoever did the mic.
Yeah.
Whoever's doing the audio, he's the next one out the door.
Right.
Yep. I mean. It was all right. It was a good promo from Roman. Roman's going to wrestle Brock here at SummerSlam again. Find it interesting that WWE is now calling it the last one. They weren't calling it the last one because Triple H took over head of creative. I don't know if we mentioned that. But Triple H is the new head of creative in the WWE. We're wondering who was going to take over from Vince, and it's Triple H, which I kind of figured. And as soon as he took over, the advertising for this match changed from, you know, last man standing to last time ever last man standing.
Is it also them capitalizing the whole Ric Flair's last match? So they're trying to get the whole last thing over?
I don't think so.
That's the thing that I saw more on Twitter than SmackDown tonight, was because Ric Flair's roast is going on.
Right. You were seeing more stuff about that than SmackDown?
Oh, yeah. Like, people care more about that because I think people think it's a bigger show. Because you have more variety of everything.
Yeah. I might tune in on Sunday to watch it. I'm not sure.
I mean, I only really want to see that match. The rest of the card, not so much. But
yeah.
Like, that promo was fantastic that they did when they busted open Flair in the parking lot, Jared and Lethal.
Yeah, it was all right. It was okay. I've seen Ric Flair bleed so much over the years. It's kind of like, all right, can we stop with this? Leave that man alone. Why is he doing this to himself?
He wants it.
I know. He's crazy. He wants it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that excited for it. I know some people are, but I just... There's only, you know, so much excitement that I could muster for a 75-year-old guy wrestling again.
73.
Yeah, whatever. You know?
Yeah, but it's a tag, though.
Yeah, with guys that I don't really need to see. I mean, Jay Lethal and Andrade wrestle all the time on AEW, and it's, you know, whatever. And Jeff Jarrett, like...
Looks bigger than both the Usos and Street Profits. Joe looks great.
Yeah, but come on. How does he move? It's different.
Hey, it took a very good bump tonight.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, but again, I'm not that hyped for the match. It'll be what it is. I'm not super excited for Flair's last match. Like, I may watch it, I may not. I saw Flair's last match. It was against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. It was great. That's the last match that I choose to remember. Huh?
This is his version. That's WWE's version. This is his way of doing it.
Yeah, well.
I respect that.
WWE did it better. It's pretty good.
I mean, they did it very well. It was good, but again, it wasn't his story. It was their story.
Mm-hmm. All right. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, last man standing for the Undisputed Universal Championship. I think Roman beats Brock clean. I don't think there's any kind of piling furniture on Brock. I don't think there's any kind of nonsense. I think he hits him with like 5 or 6 spears and puts the beast down for the count. Tribal Chief standing tall at the end of SummerSlam. That's how I see this playing out. Just put Roman over strong. Send Brock back to Saskatchewan.
You know, ideally, I'd love to see a double count out. Like, they both go down for the count of 10. So then that would make it a three-way at the Castle show. I'd much rather see a three-way with Brock, Roman, and Drew instead of just Roman versus Drew. However, they probably won't do that.
Dude.
Roman will probably win.
Imagine the reaction from the crowd if you get a non-finish in the main event of SummerSlam between Brock and Roman, right, and it stretches out yet another Brock-Roman match. Like, come on. People would be pretty pissed.
I'd love it just because it upset people so much. But they won't do that.
Because you're just a troll. You're just, like, trolling people. No. Yes.
I like pissing people off. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. But you just don't like calling it trolling, but it's the same thing. That's okay.
Well, no, but in the end, the results, like, it's better to get that match, no?
It would be a better match than Roman Drew one-on-one.
It's not really just to upset people. I mean, yeah, in that moment, sure. But in the end, like, it's for the greater good.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think that's what we see, though. I think Roman stands tall. Roman wins.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, it's going to be a finisher fest. And, you know, in the end, I think they'll probably use a lot of weapons. And in the end, somehow, some way, you know, they might bury Brock under a bunch of stuff or whatever. Throw him into fire. Who knows? But, yeah, Roman will win in the end.
How about the Mysterios against the Judgment Day in a no disqualification tag team match? I think the Judgment Day wins.
I think they win, but I think this is where Edge comes back too. Like, he'll spoil their party. Like, that was the best part of Raw, in my opinion, this week, was the Rey Mysterio celebration. That was fantastic. The only problem was they overkilled on killing Rey at the end. Like, after, you know, he won the match, great. Then they had the party thing. They attacked him. They powerbombed him. Okay. Then you had to go beat him up again. And it's like, you know, he's already dead. Like, why do you have to beat him up again?
That whole Rey Mysterio thing on Raw felt like, oh, Vince isn't in charge anymore. Vince does not do that type of thing. Come on. Vince does not celebrate Rey Mysterio in that type of way. If Vince McMahon is in charge of creative, that whole Rey Mysterio thing goes a completely different way. He doesn't get a video package plus a promo mentioning Dean Malenko and Batista and Edge and Eddie Guerrero and the heartfelt thanks to Eddie. No Jericho, but still. And then he has a match against Finn Balor and Damian Priest, and he wins. I mean, he got a lot of TV time just to celebrate Rey. And yes, they had the party, and then they got attacked. And Rey got attacked again later on. Damian Priest put him through a table. And then later on, he's being treated backstage, and Priest and Finn show up. And then Dominic and all the referees, like, get Finn and Priest away. And then from out of nowhere, there's Rhea Ripley kicking Rey in the arm, which I thought was good. I don't know. I didn't hate that.
So overkill.
I think it's good because it's like, oh, here's Damian Priest and Finn Balor beating up Rey. But it's like, hey, watch out, because you never know when Rhea Ripley might show up, but she could hurt you too. I think it's good to establish Rhea Ripley as a dangerous force in that group, because going into the match, it's a no disqualification tag match, the Mysterios versus Finn and Damian, but you know Rhea Ripley's there too, and she can get involved.
Well, she got involved before. She's the one who lured them into that trap. So you knew she was involved, but they just overkilled it because they have to kill time, so they need another segment. So it's, let's kill Rhea again. It's too much. They
overdo
everything.
Wasn't a lot of time killing on the show this week, though. You noticed the, you know, previously what? On, this is what you missed before the break. Like, there was less of that.
Well, I felt that Logan Paul thing they showed like two or three times.
Well, they got to let you know who the star
is. Garbage, too.
Yeah, his thing with Maurice was very bad. It was very bad.
Like, Raw started off okay, and then took a nosedive once that happened.
How about the Mysterios and the Judgment Day, though? Who wins? I think the Judgment Day, because the Mysterios won on Raw, they're going to even it out. And Rhea Ripley's there. it's kind of 3-on-2, no DQ, right? Makes sense.
Exactly. No DQ. That's although, it. Like, the series are kind of screwed.
We saw a 3-on-1 no DQ match tonight that opened SmackDown. Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Budge couldn't beat Drew McIntyre. They had all the weapons, they had 3-on-1, and Drew McIntyre still managed to win the match. It was a hell of a match, but, you know, if Sheamus can't beat you when it's 3-on-1, no DQ, can he ever beat you? And I understand you're trying to build Drew because he's going to wrestle Roman at the pay-per-view and he's got to look strong and all of this, and he's going to have to face Roman and the Usos at some point, you know. The Usos are always there for Roman. Like, they might not have a match, but they're always kind of in the corner, so he's got to get used to wrestling three guys, but come on. He was wrestling three guys. I don't know.
To me, I didn't mind that. They're making Drew, like, super strong. That's fine. To me, yeah. It's like, why is he like, oh, he's all sad because he has to beat Sheamus? And it's like, what? Where is this coming from? Like, that doesn't make any sense what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Now you're getting emotional? What?
Yeah, he got emotional out of nowhere. Like, oh, Sheamus, my friend, I love you so much. And I'm like, what? I mean, I know you guys are buddies, but, like, this hasn't really been talked about recently. And every time you see him, you're trying to decapitate him with your sword. Like, he's tried to murder Sheamus, yet he beats him in a match and he's, like, all sad? Right? He's tried to kill Sheamus.
It just didn't make any sense. And it's just they try to add in more drama where it wasn't needed.
I agree.
Too much.
Yeah, it was a little weird. It was like, why are you sad all of a sudden, Drew? But back to this the Priest and Finn match. Priest and Finn win against Rey and Sons.
Well, yeah, because every time the Mysterios would win, it's because they do the whole Eddie Guerrero thing, right?
Yeah, they.
But now they can't use
cheat,
that.
Yeah. Right,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, they've done it twice.
No DQ. You're right.
So now they're screwed.
I loved Rhea Ripley mushing Aaliyah Mysterio. Just like that palm to the face. Straight up mushed her.
Well, it's funny because the whole like Buddy Matthews thing, right? Because Buddy Matthews had a storyline with Aaliyah, and then he's actually dating like Rhea Ripley, so that was kind of a funny thing.
He tweeted out something about it, like, my custody, like, they can wrestle for my custody in a ladder match or something. Rhea and Aaliyah.
Right.
Funny.
Rhea had the I'm Your Poppy t-shirt, Bloody Girl thing.
Yeah.
See, that was good. She had her moment. They just do too much, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're nitpicking a little bit. I didn't have such a big problem with that. How about some other matches on this card we haven't talked about yet? Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin.
Wait,
I think
McAfee
probably wins, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think he wins.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he wins because he lost to Vince, right? So he's got to come back.
Does he?
He doesn't have to, but he will. I think.
I think Corbin should win because I think Logan Paul is going to win his match. So then you can't have all the celebrities win, can you? I mean, you can, but.
I mean, you know, Knoxville won his match, right?
Yeah. No, I think McAfee probably wins. But this is not something I care to see.
Oh,
their
I know
little
that.
Promo bit on SmackDown tonight was not great. The build for this match has not been great. Nothing of this has been good. Corbin kicked McAfee in the balls tonight. Sounds about right. Sounds about right for what these guys are doing.
Again, he's done well so far when I've seen him in the ring. So, well, I mean, it's going to be harder, obviously, with Corbin, but if they're friends, I feel like you can give them the benefit of the doubt and believe that they could have a good match. Corbin's had good matches. It's rare, but it's happened before. I remember him and Roman Reigns had a good match one time.
It's rare. It's the
I
problem.
Know.
And against Pat McAfee?
Again, his buddy. So if he's going to have a good match, you'd imagine with his friend, right? That I'm sure they've gone over many times before the match even starts. So I think they'll be fine. I think.
And Anna Jay just choked out Ruby Soho in the main event of Rampage. She, like, cheated to win. She had some sort of foreign object to help her do the choke, but still, Anna Jay just beat Ruby Soho. Good for Anna Jay. She did her whole Jericho turn. She's on Jericho's team now. She got a big win. I'm kind of surprised she won that match. I guess I shouldn't be, well, though. She just did a heel turn. It's her first kind of, yeah.
Yeah, her first, like, match since turning heel. Like, I mean, in a sense, she kind of has to win. And, like, it, as long as she cheats, I mean, it just makes more sense. However, we'll get to that more in Dynamite. Like, she was awful on Dynamite. Like, I think I've already said this, where it's like, she it doesn't make sense, this freaking heel turn. Like, I mean, it makes sense, but it's like, she doesn't fit with the Jericho Appreciation Society. It's like, they don't need her there.
Nope. I don't know why she's there, but she is. We'll talk about AEW in a little bit. Yeah, strange. So, how about, the only thing we're missing here is Logan Paul and The Miz. By the way, the Yankees beat the Royals tonight, 11-5. Two in a row off the Royals. Thank you very much. Go Yankees.
I mean,
Logan Paul
the weapon
and The Miz.
Was right there. How'd the referee not see that?
Well, the...
It didn't make any sense.
The Anna Jay thing?
Yeah, it was Anna Jay thing, yeah.
AEW referees don't see much.
Like, it's right in the freaking choke. Like,
yeah. Maryse cut a promo this week with Logan Paul. It was odd. My favorite line from Logan Paul is, you know, hey, I can't believe I'm at Madison Square Garden, you know, and my brother's going to be fighting here next weekend. And the fans boo. And then he says, oh, but that doesn't matter because it's not next week. It's today. And today is tonight. And tonight is Monday Night Raw. I was like, what? What the hell is this
guy saying?
That didn't
get a good reaction.
It's not next week. It's today. And today is tonight. What do you mean today is tonight? I mean, what? And tonight is Monday Night Raw. What the fuck? I was like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
It's not next week. Bad. It's today. And today is tonight. And tonight is Raw. I was like, uh-oh, this fucking promo's got off the rails. And then Logan's like, Miz, come out so we can fight. Because, you know, I got to stop talking here.
And he didn't come out.
This guy's got a very successful podcast. It's surprising because he really shit the bed in this promo. Maryse came out instead.
Audience.
Huh? Live audience is
live
different.
Audience.
You're right. You're right.
And
no,
he has
it's
a
different.
Script too.
Yeah. But man, it was bad. Was that scripted? Well, it's not next week. It's today. And today is tonight. And tonight is Monday Night Raw. It's
well,
not
he,
next
he
week.
To get that.
It's today. And today is tonight. I've never heard anyone say today is tonight. What? Doesn't even make sense. I mean, it kind of does, but anyways. Then Maryse came out, and she looked cool in her, like, flashy dress she was wearing. Maryse always looks good. With a she had a purse with, like, balls on it, because this is all about balls. And Maryse talks about Miz's balls, and stops saying that Miz's balls are small, because I Googled the average size balls, and his fall right in average. And then Logan says, who measures their balls? Which I think was Logan's best line, quite frankly. I think that was all right, because it makes sense. Like, what the hell? What are we talking about right now? And then Miz comes out, and he says, oh, I measure my balls, and every man in this arena does too. And I was like, what? That's a weird thing to say. It was a weird thing to say. And then they talk about SummerSlam, and then Ciampa attacked Logan, and then Miz hit his finisher on Logan and stood there with Ciampa. This was a fucking mess. I think the match will be somehow worse.
I don't know. Again, Logan Paul impressed me, so I think he might do all right. I worried more about the Miz. Can Logan Paul carry the Miz to a good match is the question here. Is he that good? I don't know. Like, you know, it was good when he wrestled Rey Mysterio. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
Against
this
the Miz,
is the Miz,
though,
who sucks. I know,
so
yeah,
it's tough to say, but
no, it's not.
This could still work.
It's not tough to say.
Could work.
Miz is garbage. Well, this will suck. Look, the only thing that's going to save this is the tremendous athleticism and awesomeness of Logan Paul. What a cool guy he is. What a celebrity. He's everything that The Miz wishes that he was. A legit celebrity and athlete. This guy's fought Floyd Mayweather. He's going to beat The Miz at SummerSlam. The only thing that would make Logan Paul better in the WWE is if his brother was his tag team partner. Those Paul brothers?
Well, they showed up.
My God. Those guys together as a tag team would be the most dominant tag team in the history of the business. All right? Forget the Usos. Forget the Legion of Doom. Forget the Dudleys. If you had the Paul brothers as a tag team, they would run shit. I think this
apparently
match will suck.
Apparently, dissing the Pauls, apparently, now.
No.
We're being told.
Oh, I'm pro Pauls. Everybody knows I love Pauls. All the Pauls. Logan Paul, Jake Paul, Paul Meade, all the Pauls. All right? So.
Is he there tomorrow?
Oh, Paulie? Paulie Meade?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I wish.
Oh, that's too bad.
I wish. Shout out, Paul. We love you, Paul. All right. He's not watching this because he doesn't like wrestling. He likes MMA, though. So maybe.
Well, because I thought UFC, like, he'd be at least come down for that.
Yeah. I don't think so. It'd be nice, but I don't think he's going to come down. I'll call him. So that's SummerSlam. We got Logan Paul beating The Miz, obviously. Obviously.
I mean, it'd be ridiculous if he lost, but stranger things have happened, but I expect Logan Paul to win.
I mean, he signed a contract with the WWE. He's supposed to wrestle. You know, going forward, how can he lose his first match here against The Miz? I think that would be bad.
Well, I think, you know, you're going to have the heel win in the end, so this is why you have a lot of faces win on this card, I think. That's the philosophy on this one.
Mm-hmm. SummerSlam going down tomorrow night, not Sunday, okay? I know a lot of wrestling fans will be waiting Sunday, like, where's SummerSlam? Or they'll be hearing
not
about they'll be hearing about SummerSlam tomorrow night, and they'll be like, what do you mean SummerSlam? And some people will be caught off guard. It's a Saturday night show. SummerSlam. AJ Styles not on SummerSlam. He and Dolph Ziggler got a win over Otis and Gable this week on Raw. I thought the tag match was good. I liked the promo a lot. I thought the promo was great backstage between the Alpha Academy, Ziggler, and AJ Styles. All that stuff. Gable was great. Gable was fantastic.
Yep. No, he was really good. Like, I don't know so much about the AJ and Dolph team. It just seems like it's kind of forced together, but it can work when you have opponents like the Alpha Academy. So for now, it's fine. But I could see this team not working out long term, though, Dolph and AJ.
That promo felt really good. That promo felt really loose. Didn't feel very scripted. You know, I feel like some things are changing in WWE, and that promo, a lot of things, little things watching Raw made me think, this feels unusual. Just the way that Gable was talking, not just talking like, he didn't come off like an idiot. Gable's come off real goofy.
The second time they came out, kind of more the same.
Yeah, but he did his kind of whole thing to kind of let you know who he is. I really like that Ziggler goes, he called Gable a Nathan Fielder wannabe, which I don't think that Gable's anything like Nathan Fielder, but I like that there was a Nathan Fielder reference on Raw this week. And then AJ goes, who's Nathan Fielder? Which I thought was great. Johnny, I ask you the question, who is Nathan Fielder?
Oh, I have no idea. I was like, oh. AJ.
I know exactly who he's talking about, and I love that there was a reference. Nathan Fielder has a show on HBO right now called The Rehearsal. It is my favorite show. They are two, I think the third episode dropped tonight, so I'm going to go and watch it later, maybe today or maybe tomorrow. but it is my favorite show. He's a Canadian guy. He did a show on Comedy Central called Nathan For You. They had 4 seasons, and it is incredible. It was one of my favorite shows ever, and the rehearsal is like Nathan For You with a much bigger budget, and it's more, it's just more. It's so good. This guy is a genius. This guy, Nathan Fielder, I'm telling you, John, fucking comedic genius. His show, The Rehearsal, is it's my favorite thing. I can't believe that HBO gave this guy a show. I'm so happy. When Nathan For You ended, I was like, oh, what happens now? Where is Nathan For Me? And there he is. He's on HBO with The Rehearsal, and it's just more of what he does, and it's beautiful. It's so good. It's hard to explain. Watch it. That's all I can say. Watch The Rehearsal. Watch Nathan For You. It's on HBO or Crave TV if you're in Canada. Nathan For You and The Rehearsal, all on Crave TVs. Oh, it's so good. So when Dolph Ziggler drops a Nathan Fielder reference, I pop for that big time, John. Nathan Fielder? What? I like that comedy AJ Styles only didn't know who he was. That was good. What? Say it again.
Well, comedy-wise, like, I've only checked out the new Fubar, which looks interesting. But that's about it.
I don't know what that is.
You know what that is.
Okay, I know what that is.
You've watched Trailer Park Boys. You know what Fubar is.
I've watched Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, but you didn't watch the Jail series, did you?
No.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, I watched real Trailer Park Boys. I mean, I prefer the Showcase years, really. Showcase Trailer Park Boys is really the peak. After that, it's kind of like, all right, what's happening here? I like when Trevor and Corey are on the show together. I like the years where there's Trevor and Corey. Once Trevor left the show, it's kind of like, all right. And also, this Jail Trailer Park Boys, there's no Leahy?
Well, he's dead. Like,
yeah, well, that's it. How do you do Trailer Park Boys with no Leahy? I don't know about that. Leahy, to me, is like the whole show. It's the main reason why you watch, to see the drunk bastard do crazy shit. Recipes.
They still got Randy around, so.
Yeah. How's the gut?
It's still there.
Greasy, hairy, big, round.
Just hope beautiful. He keeps his pants on. He always loses his pants too much.
That's good. I love to see Randy in his underwear. That's a good scene. Not Randy Orton. Randy
Bobandy. Leahy?
Randy Bobandy. That's right. What did you make of Alexa Bliss this week on Raw saying, you know, whoever is the champion, Becky or Bianca, I will go after you and I will take my place back on the top of the women's division. And then she wrestled Doudrop and she beat Doudrop. I thought it was odd that Alexa Bliss was cutting a promo saying like, oh, I'm going for the belt. I'm next.
Okay. I really didn't see it after that match.
No, but it was out of nowhere, no? It seems like WWE is telling us, too, like, oh, Alexa's probably going to be next for the belt. Not Rhea Ripley, like you thought.
Well, Rhea will get a shot eventually. I mean, she earned an opportunity, right? But, yeah, maybe it'll be Bliss next. Yeah, remember, she was supposed to get the shot at Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Oh, but sometimes, you know, they say some title match is going to happen, and it doesn't happen. And they forget about it, and then it's just completely forgotten. Sometimes they say, well, we're going to have new tag team champions and it's going to be in a tournament. And then the tournament never happens and then we never have new tag team champions ever again. These things happen, John.
Patience.
Do you still think they're going to do women's tag team title tournament? You fucking guy. Are you crazy? It's over.
They'll bring the titles back one day.
You're crazy.
I'm very convinced of that.
Yeah, if they bring back fucking Naomi and Sasha.
Apparently, they're doing some sort of autograph signing or something, or some sort of convention they're going to.
I could see them coming back with Vince gone. Maybe Triple H gives him a call, brings him back. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, I mean, they wanted a better spot, right? So until they got what they wanted, I don't think we're going to see them come back.
Well, Triple H now is new creative, right? So he's in the position to give him a better spot. He's obviously pushed Sasha before. He's a big Sasha backer, right? I could see that. I could see Triple H convincing Sasha to come back. Maybe Naomi too.
It's tough, though, after what went down, though. I mean, I'm not saying forgiveness is not impossible, but on both ends, it's not going to be easy. I mean, the fact that on television,
yeah,
buried them, not once, I think at least two or three times.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that didn't sit too well with a lot of people.
But was that a Vince call?
And then, of course, maybe it was a Vince call, possibly, but it still happened, you know. You know, are you ever going to address that and maybe apologize for that?
Maybe. Maybe they do.
And then then there's the other issue of like, okay, that's part of the problem. Now, the part of the problem is the fact that they didn't like their position. So what are they going to do about that?
I think they can find a way to use both of them. I mean, Liv Morgan's a champion. I think they could figure it out.
It's interesting. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that easy, just to water under the bridge.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I think that Triple H taking over and the new leadership in WWE changes things. I think Vince gone changes a lot. And I think people are going to see some changes in the WWE going forward. I'm already noticing the changes. You're a little bit more pessimistic when it comes to the new creative team, Triple H led. You don't believe that they're making big changes. I think it takes a little bit of time to make, you know, massive changes, but I'm seeing small things that when you add them up will lead to bigger changes going forward. I think the direction of the company changed. I noticed a fresher feel Raw and SmackDown tonight. Not to say that Raw and SmackDown were great shows, but they showed promise and they showed some new directions. I'm optimistic for Triple H taking over. Happy birthday, by the way, to the game, celebrating a birthday this week. No?
Yeah, I'm not big on Triple H. I don't know if he's got the greatest of ideas. I mean, he had a great idea of stealing ROH ideas and making his own little Fed. That was the best thing he ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that worked. That was fine. But that only worked for a certain amount of time, and then eventually
he stole New Japan too. Don't forget, he didn't just steal Ring of Honor. He stole a good chunk of New Japan.
Right. And he stole Cornette's idea of like screwing Brett, you know, which he should never be forgiven for. So
you seem to forgive Cornette.
Well, Cornette threw the idea out. Triple H executed the idea. So,
Shawn Michaels and Earl Hebner and Vince McMahon executed the idea. Triple H was backstage.
Yeah, to make sure everything went down right. Correctly.
Oh, please. Vince was ringside to make sure everything went down right. Shawn put him in the sharpshooter. Earl rang the bell. Triple H didn't do anything. Directly.
Directly, yeah, of course. He's just, you know, behind the scenes, whatever. He just happens to come out. Like, what's going on around here?
Well, he had to get Sean the hell out of there because Sean was going to get killed. He's like, Sean, let's get out of here. Come on, Sean. I love you.
And we can get into the whole Triple H allegation stuff, but we don't have to.
You know,
Triple H isn't exactly a perfect person.
Oh, there's allegations? The whole
Triple H. There's tons of allegations against Triple H. The whole China stuff, like, that's a whole saga in itself right there.
It's no allegations.
Well, what China said that Triple H did, like, you know, assaulted her.
Assaulted her?
She said that? That's what China said.
Yeah, but
now, whether you believe China or not, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, China had demons. And China said a lot of things, and I don't know. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying I would take what China says with a grain of salt. I think Triple H doesn't seem like that type of guy. But, I mean, you could be surprised. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Right. I'm not saying I agree. You know, I'm not saying I completely say China was completely truthful about everything or was in the right frame of mind. But,
yeah,
a lot of China's problems were because of Triple H, though.
And Stephanie.
And Stephanie, sure, yeah.
And Vince. Letting her go.
Well, I think it's because they realized that was, you know, a problem, all that.
Well, China was making it a problem. Listen to Jim Ross talk about that. China was making it a problem. She could have just been a big girl and said, hey, relationships end. This is business. This is business. This is relationships. Don't let them interfere. She was letting it interfere at work. It became a problem for her at work. So they had to let her go. I mean, Jim Ross talks about China crying and, you know, like going on. And this was like this was happening a lot. She was clearly not happy seeing Triple H and Stephanie there. She was having problems with it. They ran out of things to do with her. They let her go. I think people blame Triple H for whatever happened with China. But really, you know, sometimes relationships dissolve and you move on to somebody else. And sometimes, you know, your ex-girlfriend can't handle it. That's not Triple H's fault. That's a China problem.
Relationships are tough. And that
you're allowed
to
move
indication.
On. You're allowed to move on.
Oh, yeah. Sure, you're allowed to move on. But, you know, it did mess up China quite a bit, sadly, in the end.
A lot of things messed up China quite a bit. I don't think Sean Waltman helped either, you know? Where's X-Pac in all this? Doing drugs with her, getting her hooked on drugs, doing sex tapes with her. I mean, everybody wants to blame Triple H because he's powerful and he's in charge and he's got his shit together. But people don't want to blame X-Pac for all the shit that he probably, you know, he pushed more than anybody. So, come on. Come on.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, it's all Triple H, but where did it start? Where was the downfall?
You just hate Triple H because of his association with Shawn Michaels because of your love for Bret Hart. Just admit
it. Well, you hate Goldberg because of the whole thing. Even though Goldberg's apologized, Triple H has never apologized for the screw job.
Yeah, he didn't end Bret's career, though. He just facilitated him leaving the company.
It kind of helped end his career, though, which... Going WCW did that.
He made millions of dollars. Didn't have to work very much.
Yeah. Great, good for him. Yeah, great for him.
It was pretty good.
Not good for wrestling. Like, ruined possibly one of the best matches that we'll never see now. Like, it was more like going to be Austin versus Bret, and we'll never get to see that.
We saw Austin versus Bret. It was pretty good. WrestleMania 13, you don't remember?
Yeah, but when Austin and Bret, like, when... Austin was the champion. Like, we never got that match.
No. A lot of matches we never got.
You know, it's partly that... I blame Triple H for that.
I don't know about that. I don't know. And still, in 2022, we're talking about 1997 for some sort of perceived... slight against Bret Hart on your part. 2022, you're not letting it go. You're not saying, hey, maybe he's going to be a good thing to change things in WWE because the whole Vince thing was getting kind of stale. He seemed to forget who he had under contract, forget how many rematches he'd done. At least Triple H, you know, might remember what they're doing a little bit better. I think it'll be better with Triple H in charge than it was with Vince over the past few years. Maybe not. You know, better than it was with Vince at Vince's peak. But I think right now with Triple H in charge of creative, the WWE is better off than it was a couple weeks ago when Vince was still in charge. Sexually assaulting people left and right.
Well, there's another story about Triple H and all that stuff. But again, they're all rumors, but whatever about that. But still, like... It's going to be different with Triple H. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to be better. It'll be different. I don't know if he's very trustworthy, though. Like, to me, he just goes to show you, like, he doesn't really care about people. He cares more about what's best for business.
Yeah, but he's in charge of the WWE's business, so that's good.
Nope. Yeah, he's also in charge of the talent, too. Like, maybe he shouldn't be head of creative and talent relations. It's a little much.
I don't think so. I think if you're a head of creative, you should also be in charge of the wrestlers that you have. So you can, you know, figure out who you want to use in your creative. I think it's fine. I think it's going to work out. I am optimistic about the future of the WWE. I really am. But we'll see what happens at SummerSlam. We'll see what happens post-SummerSlam with the booking of that company. Because Triple H, you know, after SummerSlam, this card was largely booked for him. But going forward, it's his show. It's his company. We'll see how the next few months shake out. But I'm optimistic given what I've seen from WWE TV this week. How about AEW TV?
A lot of ups and downs there.
Yeah. Let's start with the main event on AEW TV this week. Daniel Garcia getting the win over Bryan Danielson. Making Bryan go unconscious with a sharpshooter?
Too much pain.
Doesn't really happen, though, does it?
Well, if he's got concussion issues, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the concussion seemed like what they were selling. Bryan did a top rope drop kick, and Daniel Garcia, who took the drop kick, he got up first, and Bryan sold it like he knocked himself unconscious, which was cool, because this was Bryan's first match back. His injury was mysterious, and people assumed that it was concussion issues. We still don't know. We still don't know what was wrong with him or why he was gone or what happened. But he comes back, and he acts like, oh, he's got a possible concussion. He was bleeding, and he winds up losing to Daniel Garcia. Now, I'm not mad that he lost to Daniel Garcia because he got cheated out of the way. He got cheated out of it. I mean, Jake Hager grabbed his leg from under the ring and then it allowed Garcia to hit his pile driver, apply the sharpshooter, and make Bryan go to sleep. Bryan didn't tap out. Bryan didn't get pinned. He fell asleep. And he got interfered upon with Jake Hager. And the match was very good. So when I see a great Bryan Danielson match, also because I love watching Bryan Danielson, I hadn't seen him in so long. Win or lose, I love Bryan Danielson. I wasn't that mad. If Daniel Garcia had beat him clean, that's another thing. But that's not what happened here. Daniel Garcia beat him, but interference from Hager. And the match was very good. So, you know, it was surprising that Bryan lost to this guy. But I understand AEW is trying to push him. AEW is trying to make Daniel Garcia. And this is a way to do it. He beat Bryan, but he didn't really beat Bryan. And when they rematch, I have no doubt that Bryan will beat him. And it will be, you know, obvious. He will beat him decisively. So, you know, I'm the world's biggest Bryan Danielson fan. I watch the show just to see him. And when he loses, it pisses me off. But this loss didn't piss me off. This loss made sense. He got cheated out of it. Hager interfered.
You're taking this very well. I'm very surprised. I thought you'd be very upset.
It's just pro wrestling, John. It's all fake. It's all a big work. It's fine. Like, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but like, it's just the way they project it. It's like you have this Blackpool Combat Club, and Daniel Bryan's kind of like the weak link. Or Bryan Danielson is the weak link of the group. Like, everyone else is a champion, and he loses in the main event. He's lost the last couple of matches. This is his big match back, and he loses.
Okay. Does anybody actually see him as the weak link in that group? Because I see him as the best guy in that group by far.
I think a lot of people agree with you. Think he's like the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, is he going to be the world champion tomorrow? I don't think so. Like, I don't think he's even in the hunt whatsoever.
Well, there's no AEW like, show tomorrow. That's WWE. No, but... Open the forbidden door. Do it at SummerSlam.
He's not going to win the championship anytime soon. I don't think he's going to be in the hunt anytime soon.
I still think him and Punk is going to be the match to do for the belt at some point.
Well, and it's going to be Moxley first, though.
Yeah, Punk will come back. Punk will beat Moxley in September. And then maybe November or February you do Bryan and Punk. I don't think we're out of that completely. I think it's possible. You think Bryan Danielson maybe never becomes AEW World Champion? Because that would disappoint me. I think he should be champion at some point because he's, you know, the best in the world.
You just got to wonder with injuries at this point where it's like maybe you're only going to see him a handful of times now, possibly. Maybe they're kind of preparing us for that where it's like, you know, these are going to be special moments and you just have to appreciate what you get.
Well, Punk's hurt too. He's the champion. It's not fair.
Yeah, but they let him take time off still with the title. It's a different thing, you know. Punk, like, I don't know about you. To me, Punk, like, runs that Fed. That's what it seems like to me.
It like, seems like
it
he's
all
got,
revolves around him.
It seems like he's got Tony Khan wrapped around his little finger, you know? That's what it seems like to
he's
me.
He's the guy there.
You like, see the way Tony Khan hugs him? Look, he hugs him like he's his father.
Well, Claudio would have got a better hug, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know why Tony Khan hugs the shit out of these guys. It's a weird move. The way it's not the hug. It's the leaning the head on the man's body like he's your daddy. You know what I mean? Like you hug a guy, keep your head parallel to the rest of your body. Don't lean your head into another man on a hug. That shit is weird. You know what I'm saying, John? If you're going to hug a guy, keep your head straight, bro.
Wow.
Don't be hugging and then leaning your head into the dude. That's when shit gets odd, Tony Khan, and that's why people are making fun of you. Because you're doing the head lean like he's like they're your daddy. It's like, oh, let me just be in your chest, daddy. That's not how it works. That's not how you hug another man that works for you, too. That's a weird one. You know? Don't lean
don't really
your head
hugs.
On a dude in a hug. I'm telling you, it's a bad look. Keep your head parallel to your shoulders. Don't lean it over. You look like a chump. John, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but, you know, hugs aren't usually a huge thing. I don't really do that so much. It's more of a, you know, fist pump or, you know, if we hug of any kind, it's going to be with a handshake and a little side kind of thing. That's the closest you're going to get to a hug, really.
Uh-huh.
That's it. We're good.
What would you do if I hugged you and I leaned my head in your chest?
Like a little bit of space here, buddy.
Yeah, you'd be like, what the hell are you doing? And you'd be right. You'd be right to demand space. Oh. If I put my head in your chest, I'm driving forward and trying to take you down. I don't know. A hug turns into double underhooks.
I'd ask
and we're going
you what's
for a takedown.
Wrong with
you. Yeah, I mean.
Someone die?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tony Khan is hugging these guys like somebody died. Nobody died. He just loves them. Like a baby. Loves his daddy. Anyways. And I think he loves CM Punk more than any of them. He loves CM Punk. He's so happy he gets to hang out with CM Punk. It's kind of sad.
Punk had some very interesting words about Vince. I don't know if you caught that.
He's so bitter, man. Give it up. You're not a millionaire. You're not a millionaire unless Vince McMahon exists, man. Fucking deal with it. CM Punk is nothing without Vince McMahon paving the way to create this fucking business that everybody's made millions off of. Let's not kid around. CM Punk can say whatever he wants about his personal grievances with Vince and about the legitimate accusations and all the things that are legitimate beefs and gripes, but come on, man. Come on. Like, how much can you really go at the guy before you finally think, maybe, you know, maybe he's done more good than harm to the wrestling business. Whatever. I don't care about what CM Punk says about Vince. He's so bitter. Like, he'll never give up. Brett said positive things about Vince, I think.
Did he? I didn't catch that.
I think so.
What Linda said.
Yeah.
Linda was interesting. To be honest, though, people, like, got to leave people alone, though, sometimes. Like, I mean, when they refuse to answer a question, stop pushing it, you know? Like,
they're like,
reporters,
Linda,
need to calm down. With
what do you think? Yeah, I mean, they were really pushing. And Linda's like, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here not here to talk about Vince. And she's like, well, what do you think about Vince? What's the allegation? What's he going to do? She's like, well, Vince, I guess, will have to figure out what to do with all his spare time. Which is a really weird thing to say as his wife. Vince is going to have to figure out what to do with his spare time. Like, aren't you going to keep up? Are you going to be part of that spare time? Aren't you aware of what he's doing with his spare time? Haven't you talked to him? No, because it's a business relationship. You're like Bill and Hillary.
Right.
That was weird. Yeah. Vince is going to figure out what he's got to do with his spare time. Like, he's this guy that lives in another state that she kind of knows, but, you know. Why are you asking me about Vince? I barely talked to him. I haven't talked to him in months. Didn't it come off like that? Like, eh, we'll see what he does. I don't know. It's like an acquaintance. Well,
she's not affiliated with WWE anymore. So she doesn't work for WWE. So it's kind of like, all right, I know these people, but.
Yeah, but she's still married to the guy, technically, right? I mean.
Sure. Fine.
She has kids
That's
with him.
That's about it, though.
I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, whatever.
Yeah, well, I didn't see her at the UFC with them. Was she? No.
No. No, she's not part of that. Oh, I wonder what Stephanie thinks about all that. What Shane thinks about all that. I wonder what
Shane's
Linda really thinks, too. My God.
Shane's opinion would be very interesting.
Yes. Maybe one day we'll get it. Can't Conrad Thompson do a podcast with Shane McMahon? That's a podcast that I listen to, Conrad. I'd pay for that shit. I don't need to hear Tony Schiavone. I'll tell you that much. I'm not listening to Tony Schiavone give me his thoughts on wrestling. I'm not that interested. But Shane McMahon.
Well, I have to say, though, I love Tony Schiavone's podcast. Like, hearing about the old WCW pay-per-views, that's fantastic. I love that.
The only old-time shit I like hearing is Jerry Briscoe and JBL. I like their show. I love Briscoe. Bradshaw's good, too. They're great. All right, what else happened on Dynamite? Jon Moxley beat Roosh with the Bulldog Choke to retain the AEW interim title. Not bad.
I thought, you know, Roosh was all right, but, like, it seemed kind of sloppy at times, the match. And, like, why does Moxley have to bleed, like, right away? I didn't understand that. Like, you just touch his head now and he just bleeds all the time now?
Apparently.
It's a little much. Like, we started the show with blood, we ended the show with blood. Like, it was just too much. Like, it would have been better for Brian, like, to have the blood at the end be special, you know? Like, oh, no, he really hurt, you know?
Yeah.
But when Moxley does it at the beginning, it's like, well, everyone bleeds, whatever.
Moxley wrestles sloppy style, doesn't he? Isn't that his style? Like, wrestle on the outside of the ring, brawl around, don't do much. Sloppy shit. It's not great.
But he can do more than that. He just chooses not to. He just does this kind of sloppy style. And then he's like, you can't criticize him, apparently. Apparently his fan base is like, well, like, can't say he's like a bad wrestler because that's the worst thing to say.
I've been saying it for years.
Oh, you've been saying a long time, I know, but
I mean, I
a
like
lot of people think
I like Jon Moxley way more than Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose was the drizzling shits. Moxley is slightly better, but I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. I would love to see Chris Jericho beat him for the title. Chris Jericho came out to do a promo. Anna Jay, Angelo Parker, Ty Conti, and Sammy Guevara were there. Was Angelo Parker doing like a Roman Reigns thing? He's like, oh, yes. Appreciate us. Is he trying to do acknowledge me? Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I don't like that.
No, I liked it because that's their gimmick, right?
Because they're sports entertainers. They're doing the sports entertainment thing. Yeah, but it just comes off kind of cheap when you're imitating the other company's top guy and his catchphrase. It comes off like Gilbert-ish. And that's not what Angelo Parker is.
Well, what is he, actually?
Well, he's not Gilbert. Honest. I mean, he could be bigger than that if he treats himself that way. But if he goes, appreciate us, and the way he says it, it's kind of like, oh, you're clearly not Roman Reigns. You know, it just makes him look cheaper. Come up with your own catchphrase. I mean, I know you're not doing the same catchphrase as Roman, but, I mean, you and I both got what he was doing there, right?
Yeah, but it got good heat, though. Like, I had no problem. As long as it was a one-time thing, I got no problem with that. Like,
all right.
It played into a lot of things that people know about WWE, so.
Yeah, one-time thing is fine, I guess. Anna Jay started talking. She says she's the new Anna Jay. What, you
so
loved
bad.
It?
No, I hated it. I thought, like, she just comes off so fake and phony, to be honest. Like, she might be one of the worst people they have on the mic. Like, honestly, they shouldn't have turned her heel because she's not a good heel.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't really care. Quake at the Lake in 2 weeks is what they're calling the special episode of Dynamite. Every episode of Dynamite's got a different title. It's been Fighter Fest for like 3 weeks. Then in 2 weeks, it's going to be Quake at the Lake. John Moxley versus Chris Jericho for the interim AEW world title. I'd like Jericho to win. I don't think he will, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, but it probably won't happen because they're building up Moxley for that match with Punk, right? So he's got to beat Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Ricky Starks? He had a big week. He beat Danhausen. A decent match. That was all right.
Well, I don't know about you. I didn't have any doubts about him going to win that match.
No. Well, Danhausen's not winning anything. He's not winning the FTW title. But Hook did. Ricky Starks cut a promo afterwards, says he wants another match. Hook comes out. They do a match. And Hook makes Starks tap out and becomes a new FTW champion.
And then they propped each other at the end, too. It was like, okay.
Yeah, well, Ricky Starks is turning babyface, and Hook is going on now as the FTW champion, which makes sense. I think I've been predicting Hook to become FTW champion for a while. It's his dad's belt.
That, only a matter of time. I don't know if you saw the promo they did. I think it was online only. But that was fantastic what Taz did when he did the promo with his son backstage.
I didn't see it.
Like, to me, it was the best promo I saw this week without question, just because Taz, like, was just real about how, like, this meant so much to him to see his, to not only, like, have his son win the title that he created, but, like, to call it as well.
Yeah. Must have been a great moment
for
him.
Get emotional about that.
Yeah.
It was great. Well, just to hear that promo, too, and just to hear him talk about that, like, great stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to check that out. I like that kind of stuff. I like Taz. Sammy Guevara beat Dante Martin. I don't know. It's not my style match. It was all right.
Well, they both had their own friends in their corners there.
Yeah.
You know, Sammy had Ty, and Dante comes out with Sky Blue, which was like, okay, like whatever. If you don't know, like that's his girlfriend, but you know.
Oh.
She doesn't talk or say anything.
Oh, you
know
idea.
That?
No
okay,
idea.
Well, that was the
I didn't
thing.
Even know who she was, really. I'm like, oh, you're Sky Blue.
They didn't explain it very well. They just, oh, she's Sky Blue. Whatever.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I thought the match was all right. It's just too bad that Dante got injured, though, on that cutter and on the end. That's too bad.
Oh, did he? He's hurt now?
Oh, man. Did you see it? Like, it's bad the way that landed. Like, the fact that they were able to finish the match afterwards was pretty impressive because, like, yeah, his knee is messed up. Like, you could tell by the way he landed, like, that was not good. Hopefully it's not a serious injury, but he was messed up. Like, you could tell the trainer afterwards was on the ring after, and, like, that was real.
They used to call a lot of those moves that these guys do high-risk maneuvers. You know? You go to the top rope, it's a high-risk maneuver. When 80% of your moveset is high-risk, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, the thing is, too, it's just the way his leg, like, was going. Like, it's got to go more. He was too close in, so he's got to go backwards, right? But he's going forward, and, you know, he's driving him the other way, so that's never good. It's just too bad, really, how that worked out. It's just more placement, but it just goes to show you just the littlest thing on timing, and it can mess you up.
That's true. How about this promo with Jungle Boy? Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus interviewed in the ring. What's that?
Ups and downs. Like, I wasn't big on Jungle Boy's thing. I know some people were like, oh, it's so cool what he said. Like, to me, it's just, again, like, it seems kind of fake, like, kind of forced. And, like, okay, he's saying he's swearing. That's nice. But I still don't believe a lot of what he's saying, to be honest. He's just saying what he's been told to say. The only good line was the whole thing about, like, Christian getting divorced, because that's legit.
I didn't know about that either.
Yeah. That was good.
Man. But when Jungle Boy grabs the mic and he's, like, all calm, and then he grabs the mic and you could tell he's, like, really putting it on. You're the biggest pussy I ever met, Christian. It's like, all right. And the crowd pops because he's showing emotion, but it's like, okay. I don't know. Lame. I didn't buy it.
That's a guy that tries to be tough, and, like, you can tell he's not tough, like, the way he talks.
Yeah, but then Jungle Boy saying, oh, Christian, you're mad because I eliminated you from a battle royal, and you wanted the bonus because you need the money because your wife divorced you and you have to give her money. And then he said something too about his wife not being satisfied, and that's why she left him. It's kind of a...
Oh, he did the whole call me thing afterwards.
Right.
Because he did that to his dad or mom.
His mom, yeah. And Jungle Boy talks about how he dug his father's grave, which is weird. He dug the hole?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
That's not something that usually happens, and I don't really believe that. That was an odd thing. And then Christian says, oh, the next time I see you, Jungle Boy, I'm going to put you in a body bag and bury you next to your father, who's dead, by the way.
Good stuff.
I'm going to kill you and bury you next to your dad. And Jungle Boy, you've told me all your secrets over the past year or so that we've been friends, and now I'm going to use them all against you. All right. It was all right. It had its moments. It had its moments. Mostly with Christian. Christian's good. Jungle Boy's promo's not quite there, but maybe they'll improve over the next few months with Christian. They're trying to get something out of him.
That's it. I mean, the more you work with Christian, I think the better Jungle Boy will get. So, but they got to not rely on the swearing to try to get him over, because that doesn't work too. It's got to be more natural, not just throw out these words and it's like, oh, wow, he said that. I can't believe he said that. Like, that's lame stuff. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Could be better. But
I don't Christian's believe that you're aggressive just because you say a couple curse words on TV. It's like, all right, I get it.
Exactly.
You're trying to be tough guy here. It's like a child trying to, like, act tough, you know? It's like, well.
And he sounds like a child, too, which is even worse.
And he looks like a child, which doesn't help either.
He's got some facial hair, at least, but, yeah, it's not great. But Christian's going to need, like, backup. And I'm going to guess it's probably going to be Will Hobbs, because he's still a heel. He turned on Ricky Starks. So I think Will Hobbs might help Christian, I think.
Yeah, Will Hobbs turned on Ricky Starks, which was weird. I don't know why.
Well, he lost the title. He's a loser now, so doesn't need him anymore.
Okay. That's a loose explanation for it. The Young Bucks backstage talking about the Trios title tournament. So the AEW Trios title are official. They're going to do a six-man tag team title. So three guys holding belts. And it seems like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega will be the first tag team champions. That's been the rumor anyways. But they teased Hangman being the Bucks' new partner.
Interesting. And
they wished Hangman a happy birthday, and Hangman kind of wished Nick a happy birthday, and then the Dark Order showed up and kind of stopped Matt Jackson from whatever he was going to say to Hangman. It seems like they're trying to get the Bucks and Hangman back together, but things keep getting in the way. I wonder how this plays out with the Bucks, Hangman, and the Trios titles. Do the Bucks and Hangman win them together? Does Kenny come back and continue to feud with Hangman? We know that the Undisputed Elite will all be back together. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish will be back with the Young Bucks on Dynamite Wednesday. They've been gone for a bit, so they'll be back with the Bucks next week. This Hangman stuff is interesting, though. Are they going to get the team back together? Does Hangman come back with the Bucks? Or does Kenny come in? I feel like the Bucks will be the first Trios champions, but I'm not sure who their partner will be.
I'm just trying to think who they'd be against. Like, would they be against Hangman? Or maybe they're against the Undisputed Elite? Or maybe another team, possibly. Like, I'm more interested in who they'd face, to be honest.
Well, it is a tournament. We don't know who's going to be in the tournament. We don't know how many teams are going to be in the tournament, but you would assume Orange Cassidy, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Trent would be one of the trios. But yeah, you got to finish the tournament, and the finals will be in September at All Out at that pay-per-view, right?
So this has to start really soon, to be honest.
Yeah. Although I think I read somewhere where it's only going to be like a 4-team tournament. So it could start like
That's
2 weeks
ridiculous.
Before. Yeah.
They have so many teams. Like, it should be more.
Considering that Owen Hart tournament lasted forever, apparently this tournament's going to be very short.
Crazy, because just again, they have so many teams. They can actually make it something, not just like 2 weeks. But maybe it takes, like, you're right. Maybe the Owen Hart thing, and they realized. It kind of drags too much, so don't make it drag.
I don't think the tournament did that well for them. Thunder Rosa beat Mia Yamashita to retain the AEW women's title this week on Dynamite. It was all right.
I thought it was okay, but here's the problem. Like, the challenger, like, there's no build. Like, okay, she beat Thunder, but that's it? That's all we have to go on? Like, who is she? You know, what does she do? What are her moveset? Like, they do a bad job presenting these characters. You know, like, I understand, like, Kenny wants to present these characters, but he does a bad job of, like, getting us invested in these characters.
I don't think it's just, you know, the women from Japan that are not presented well. I think it's their women's division in general. They're just not presented that well. You know, other than Britt and Jade, nobody else has a gimmick. Nobody else has a character. Nobody else is clearly defined. Toni Storm is a great example. Like, she's a star, and they've done nothing with her.
She's just there.
Exactly. She shouldn't be just there.
I think Ty's defined pretty well.
And she's Sammy's girlfriend. That's the only time. Oh. Yeah, but that's not great. As a female performer, you don't want to get your only shine as, oh, well, who is Ty? She's that guy's girlfriend. She's, you know, she's less of a wrestler now because she's just kind of the manager for Sammy. She has a smaller role. She has a more defined role, but it's less. I mean, she wrestled for the title at one point on pay-per-view. She's further away from that now as Sammy's girlfriend, as Sammy's manager. I mean, Anna Jay has come in and taken her place as the lead woman who wrestles in the Jericho team.
Well, that's not going to last long. Because I think when Ty wrestles again, there's going to be a lot more heat.
I don't know. I think the Ty right now and most of the women are just not that clearly defined. Thunderstorm is a tag team. It's Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm. They'll wrestle Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter next week on Dynamite.
That should be a good match.
Yeah, but again, Jamie Hayter is just kind of a goon for Britt Baker. Tony Storm is just there. And Thunder Rosa is like starting to get a personality and you're starting to figure out who she is. I like that she comes out with the cowboy hat. Like you could tell, like, okay, she's got a gimmick. She's got an angle here. But she hasn't had a breakout feud that really makes you say, ooh, I got to see this. I got to see Thunder do this. I got to see Thunder versus her. And all they have is Britt Baker, and you can't just keep going around and around in circles with Britt Baker. You got to go somewhere else. They went to Toni Storm too quick.
You're right. You're right. They need to change it up. They need to freshen it up a bit. I don't know in terms of the feuds, like who they really have. Though for Thunder, it's tough.
I have no idea.
We'll have to wait and see how this all turns out. Maybe turn Tony against Thunder, possibly. I don't know.
I think they might try to go with Anna Jay.
Oof.
I know.
That's not a good idea.
I think that's where they're going. Anna Jay beat Ruby Soho on Rampage tonight in the main event. What's that for?
Well, just to give her something, I guess. Kind of get her going, but honestly, I think Ty is the better route, without question, to have that match. Ty against Thunder, that could be big. Anna Jay, like, oof, that makes Dynamite, I'd be surprised. But it probably will.
I'm telling you, man. Sammy Guevara beat Dante Martin this week, right? Anna Jay and Ty Conti beat up Sky Blue after the match. Who made the save to run off Anna Jay? Thunder Rosa, Eddie Kingston, Ortiz. Thunder Rosa, Anna Jay. I'm telling you. That's where they're going. They're pushing Anna Jay. They're making her into a heel. They're giving her promo time with the Jericho Society. They're having her beat Ruby Soho, which is a very surprising win. And Thunder Rosa ran her off on Dynamite this week. Anna Jay. That's all they got.
Well, as long as it leads to tie against Thunder, I think that's what you got to have in the end. But I guess we have to sit through this, sadly. Anna Jay.
I know you're a huge Ty fan, but I don't think the Ty versus Thunder will be that great.
Well, even you admit, though, I mean, come on, like Ty against Thunder or Anna Jay against Thunder, right?
Sure.
I don't think there's any competition there. Like, what you want to see more? Like,
no, you're right. But I, want to see more. I don't think I want to see either match at all, to be quite honest with you.
But if you had a choice.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be a coin toss, to be honest. I don't think Ty is that much better than Anna Jay. I mean, I recognize that she is a bit, but not enough for me to notice.
Okay.
Honestly. Well, sorry.
It's fine, but I mean, there's a difference. There's clearly a difference.
Uh-huh. Christian's going to wrestle Matt Hardy on Dynamite this week. That's what I'm looking forward to. Hell yeah.
That should be fun.
Christian, Matt Hardy, one-on-one? Yes. Sign me up. Great stuff. Good job, AEW. And AEW is coming to Canada for the first time. Well, kind of. They're coming to Toronto. It's kind of like...
It is Canada.
It's technically Canada, but it's like where Americans go to Canada when they don't really want to go to Canada, you know? It's as close to America as you can get while still being technically in Canada. Because it's like a really big city. It's like, you know, they have a lot of the same franchises. But you know what I'm saying? Like in Toronto, like it's very big business. They have a lot of the franchises that they would have in the States. Like, if there's some shit that they only have in the States, sometimes they'll have it in Toronto too. They'll have it nowhere else in Canada, but like some chain restaurant and be like, do we have that anywhere? No. They have one in Toronto, though. Like Chick-fil-A. I think the only Chick-fil-A in Canada is in Toronto. I might be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure they have one in Toronto.
They might have one in Vancouver.
Canada. Locations. Kitchener?
There you go.
Where's Kitchener?
That's not bad.
How far is that away from Toronto? It's not that far. I don't think. I don't really know Ontario geography. I don't know. I feel bad. I'm not trying to say that Toronto isn't Canada. It's obviously Canada. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not like AEW is going to Halifax. It's not like AEW is going to Regina. It's not like they're doing a tour of Canada. They're going to Toronto. It's like AEW's coming to Canada. Where are they going? Toronto? Anywhere else? No. Calgary? No. Montreal? No. Edmonton? No. Vancouver? No. Kitchener? No. Kingston? No. Ottawa? No. Quebec City? No. WWE is hitting all those towns, you know? So AEW, when I heard that they were going to Canada, I was like, oh, Canada? And they were like, Toronto. I was like, I guess that counts. Oh, wow.
Chick-fil-A? But you knew this would happen.
Chick-fil-A has a lot. Well, actually, they're all in Toronto, pretty much. Yeah, see, Chick-fil-A, there's one in Windsor, there's one in Kitchener, and then there's four in Toronto. There's six locations total in all of Canada, and four of them are in Toronto. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's mostly, like, just a lot of shit that they have in the States, they also happen to have in Toronto. Because it's, like, the biggest city in Canada, and it's the most important, and, like, I'll give it to them. It's the best. I wouldn't say it's the best, but I would say it's the biggest and most well-known and important city in Canada as far as business and shit like that. I prefer Montreal. It's where I'm from. It's where I'm more comfortable.
So you're not going to the show. I like Toronto.
I like Toronto. I don't want to shit on Toronto. I'm not trying to disrespect Toronto, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if Americans want to get the Canadian experience without drifting too far away from home, without getting a little, like, they don't want to come here because they come here, they're like, they don't speak French, it's confusing, you know what I mean? And you go to other places, you go to other places in Canada, it's like, oh, I'm clearly in Canada, I'm clearly in another country. If you go to Toronto as an American, it's pretty close. It's close enough. And I love America. I'm not disrespecting America or Canada. I'm just saying, as an American company, go into Canada when you're dipping. It's dipping your toe in the water of Canada. It's like, let's go to Canada, but let's go to a city where, you know, we'll do well and it'll be all right. And we can go to Chick-fil-A still. So it's fine. It's normal. It's like America. You know? Come to Montreal. Well, you're like, what's this Belle Province restaurant? What are these hot dogs we're eating? What's smoked meat? What are these bagels? You get confused. I don't speak French. You know, it's confusing for people from the States.
There's some good food in here, to be honest. Like, but in Montreal? I apologize to any... Yeah,
or in
great
Toronto.
Food in Montreal.
There's great food everywhere. Both cities.
I apologize
to
any Toronto fans that we have here that are upset because of what you've been saying, but...
I think that they would get what I'm saying, people in Toronto. Like... It's obviously not the States, but it's like as close as we have to America in Canada. You know what I mean? I think the closest like thing that we could get to America in all of Canada would be Toronto.
So answer the question. Are you going to the show?
To the AEW show in Toronto?
That's what you're getting asked, yeah.
Who's asking me that? You?
No, Matthew Henley was on the chat.
No, I'm not going.
I wasn't planning on going either.
Why would I go?
Well, it's the first ever show. Some people would think it's a big deal.
First ever show in Toronto. Like, if it was in Montreal, I would go. If it was in Montreal, I would go to, like, they're doing Dynamite October 12th and then Rampage October 13th, which is weird because Rampage is usually on a Friday, but they're doing it on a Thursday, so I don't know. But
it's probably
if they were doing
the venue.
That... If they were doing that in Montreal, I would go to both shows. I would buy tickets for both. But I'm not traveling to Toronto to see AEW. Like, I'm not that into it. It's not that good. It's not that good. It's not worth it for me to travel. I have traveled before for professional wrestling, and right now professional wrestling is not good enough for me to travel for. Also, I've seen enough pro wrestling live that I'm just kind of over it at this point. You know, I don't need to travel to see that. It's like, unless they really have some sort of crazy card that I must see. If All Out was in Toronto, if they were doing a pay-per-view in Toronto, I'd consider it. But not a TV taping. I don't give a shit.
Well, live, but one's a TV taping, yes.
Yeah.
But what about WrestleMania 40? They announced that in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm not going.
So you'd be interested in going to that. You're not, not going to go to that, okay.
Philadelphia WrestleMania. I mean, Philly's not far.
I'd be interested in that.
It's possible.
One night, probably the Saturday. I'd be interested in that.
Do they have legal weed in the state of Pennsylvania?
I have no idea.
I think they have it in New Jersey. New Jersey does, and if you go to Philly, you could stay in Jersey. And I'm pretty sure Jersey has dispensaries and shit. So if there's weed, you know, maybe I'd do it. It's a big factor for me, you know? There's cool dispensaries I could check out. Maybe. But I don't know. It's a lot of travel for wrestling. And again, like, the wrestling isn't that good these days. I'd rather travel to see a UFC show. They're better shows.
Well, we're talking WrestleMania 40, which is not even going to be next year. It'll be the year after, so.
Yeah. I mean, unless they sign some guys, I don't know. They're going to have to do something. I can't imagine WrestleMania 39 will be worth going to. I don't need to see The Rock and Roman Reigns. I'm not interested in that.
I don't disagree. I don't know if I need to go see that one. But, you know, in Philadelphia, it's like, well, I'd love to go see WrestleMania at least once. At least one night would be nice.
Yeah, I would, before I die, like to attend a WrestleMania. I've never been to a Mania. I'd like to do that one day. I don't know if it'll be Mania 40. I don't know. Maybe. Check back with me in a year or two, whenever it is. 2024? A couple years. I got time.
We'll see how many kids you have back then. Or then,
still two. There'll still only be two. All right? Jeez. All right, I apologize to all my friends out in Toronto, Antoinette. I'm not trying to... I hope nobody's offended. I realize what I said could be offensive.
I told you. I told you.
No, nobody's mad. I haven't seen anybody mad or anything. Good. No. I just, like, I feel bad, you know? Like, I think people from Toronto understand what I'm saying. I'm saying, there's six Chick-fil-A's in all of Canada. It's in every state, I think, in the union. It's very popular in the States. When I go to America, I eat a Chick-fil-A because it's delicious chicken sandwich. I'm saying I envy Toronto for having all this cool shit all the time. But I'm saying you have a lot of the cool shit that makes America cool, you know? Like, a lot of the cool things that America has, like different fast food shit, Toronto also has. And it's like, how did Toronto get that? We don't have that here. And it's like in no other province and no other city in the whole country. And it's like, how did Toronto get all this cool shit? Because Toronto, it's the coolest city. You got all the cool shit. But, you know, it's not my favorite city in Canada. It's not my favorite. But Montreal kind of sucks, too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is my favorite. I'm not a big fan of Montreal. I live here. I was born and raised here. My parents are born and raised here. I'm not a huge fan. Not much here, really. Like, I don't know. People like Montreal so much. There's not much here that really gets me, you know? There's not much in Montreal that I'm really that into. It's not that good. Everybody's all, ooh, Montreal. Why? I mean, we got some good smoked meat. Like, yeah, I like smoked meat and bagels. I like that.
Montreal's unique. It stands out.
Yeah, whatever. And I don't give a shit about that. I don't need that.
You don't care because it's not unique to you. You live in it. That's why.
Yeah. I don't think it's that good. I think there's a lot of bullshit about Montreal I don't like. I could see myself living in another city and enjoying it. I wanted to move to Ottawa recently. I was like, let's just move to Ottawa. What the fuck? They got a Red Lobster there? I love Red Lobster.
Ottawa.
I'd live in Ottawa just to eat at Red Lobster a couple times a month. But people are like, oh, Ottawa's so boring. I'm like, what's so exciting about Montreal? Nothing happening here. There's jack shit here. WWE goes to Ottawa, too?
Yeah, but the shows aren't as good, though. I think you've been to those shows, haven't you?
Yeah, not that good in Ottawa. But whatever. The crowds are hotter in Montreal. Fine. See, Franco says, we're multicultural and Ottawa has no nightlife. I don't think Franco understands my life. What do I give a fuck about multicultural? Multicultural? The only culture I give a shit about is fight culture and wrestling culture. That's my culture. My culture is combat. I don't give a fuck about, you know, whatever. And nightlife, I don't have a nightlife. I don't go out at night. I don't give a fuck about that either. That's the thing. Like, the people, the things that people like about Montreal, I couldn't care less about. Oh, we have hockey. I don't give a shit about hockey. Oh, we have good bars. I don't give a shit about that. Oh, we have good restaurants. Yeah, I don't go to no fucking fancy restaurants with weird shit on the menu. Fuck out of here with hipsters serving me. I'm not interested in that. Too many fucking hipsters. I'm not interested in any of that shit. Like, this is the thing, man. All this shit that people say, oh, Montreal's so great. It's, like, not for me. I don't care.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? It's not for you either. You know, you're not into that shit. You don't care.
Oh, I like hockey, though, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true. We have hockey. Franco says we have good weed. No, we don't have good weed. We have the same weed in fucking Ontario. As a matter of fact, the stores in Ontario are better because they're privately run. You could open your own weed store in Ontario, and you can't do that shit here. You have to buy from the government, so you have to pay the government prices. There's no deals. It's actually better in Ontario. Way better. Once again, Franco, nope. I'm telling you, the longer I live here, the more I think, what am I living here for? Just because I was born here, but it's like, you know, if my family weren't here and I wasn't born here, I wouldn't live here, because it's like, there's really not much for me. I'm not a big fan of anything around here. The fucking Expos are gone. The Expos are gone. George St. Pierre's retired. What do I give a fuck about living in Montreal? You know what I'm saying? At least when GSP was fighting, we got the UFC. We had GSP fights. We had something to be fucking proud of. Championships were actually won at the Bell Center, you know? I'm telling you. Trash town with full of trash people. Garbage. Fucking mayor's garbage. The premier's garbage. It's all garbage. Trash. Pure trash. I mean, it's all right. I live here. It's fine. But, like, people go on and on about all these things that make Montreal special, and they really don't move me in any kind of way. I'm not going to see no comedy. It's fucking every all my fucking comedy the thing is going on, right? There's a comedy festival. The only people I want to see, they're all dead. All my favorite comedians are dead or not coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking Norman McDonald is dead. Seen him. He's dead. Sad. Fucking... fucking Gilbert Gottfried is dead. I'd like to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck, anybody I want to see is dead or is not allowed into the country like Joey Diaz, you know? There's jack shit here. I'm telling you. It's garbage. But at least we got a SmackDown taping. Hey, SmackDown taping, baby. Yeah, but fucking Toronto and Ottawa get those things too.
SmackDown live. It's not a taping.
I know. We're getting live SmackDown. Ottawa's not getting TV. Toronto's getting TV. They're getting Raw.
Right.
But hey, we get SmackDown. That's pretty good.
Should be interesting.
You know, when the WWE does an East Coast tour, we sometimes get TV. Do we get pay-per-view? No, probably not. But sometimes TV. Nice.
Or just... To make a correction, it's Sophia Cromwell. That's the NXT wrestler. That's Maxine Dupri, not Ginny from NXT UK. Not that I don't think you even notice the difference or even care so much, but I just wanted to make that clarification.
I don't know who either of them are. You see, Dupri is still around. They didn't ditch him. They got both Dupris now.
Okay. I mean... I don't really care. And then everyone's like, oh, it's a big deal. I'm like, I don't give a crap. Like,
no. It's still the same gimmick.
Does it add anything? Do they do anything besides, like, look at themselves and talk awkwardly? No.
No.
Like, nothing's changed, really. Like, still the same thing. Just, oh, he's there at the end just to, like, oh, well, it's not what you thought. Again, we're working people. That's fine. Like, it's all about working, you know, reporters or whatever, journalists. That's fantastic. Great quality television is for that.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think Montreal is the best fight town in the country. I think we are the best fight city. I think we have the best fighters. I think it shows. If you look at the UFC throughout the years, and even now, most of the good Canadian fighters, they're from right here in Montreal or Quebec in general, but they usually train in Montreal.
It'd be great to get a pay-per-view again.
Yeah. Well, the last pay-per-view was 180 or 186 or something. It was a Demetrius Johnson fight. There's only like 8,000 people in the Bell Center. People in Montreal,
Yikes.
People in Montreal don't show up unless it's the GSP fight. Fucking, they had trouble selling right. out an Anderson Silva main event. They did one pay-per-view in the George era when Anderson Silva was there too, and Anderson main evented, and George wasn't fighting, and they didn't sell that well. People come out to see George, but they don't come out to see anybody else. And that's why the UFC is not coming back here. UFC is going to go to Toronto. The UFC is going to Toronto in the fall, I think. They were trying to, but they might not. They might not now because COVID rules are kind of tough for them. But when they do come back to Canada, I think it'll be Toronto first, UFC.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. That's
it. But hey. You got Montreal first, though, remember? You got that first live event. Montreal got it before
You know why?
Else.
You know why, John?
Because everything got canceled. They were supposed to go to Toronto, but they got canceled.
No. Because the sport of mixed martial arts at the time was illegal in the province of Ontario.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It took a long time for MMA to get legalized in Ontario. And thankfully, in Quebec, we were able to do it. That's why the first UFC in Canada was here, UFC 83. Because it still wasn't legal in Toronto. As soon as it did become legal in Toronto, they sold out the goddamn Sky Dome for George St. Pierre and Jake Shields. And I was there, and it was incredible.
129, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. I'll be watching UFC tomorrow night. Juliana Pena is about to do it again. I'll leave you with this, John. Okay, I'm going to leave you with this. BJ Penn was looked at as the greatest lightweight of all time. When Frankie Edgar beat him, nobody believed it. When they fought again, BJ Penn was the favorite. And, of course, he was the favorite the first time. He was still the favorite in the rematch, and he lost. Supposed greatest of all time, lost. Anderson Silva, when he fought Chris Weidman the first time, he was the favorite, obviously. Lost to Weidman. Nobody believed it. They came back, did the rematch. Anderson the favorite again. Weidman beat him again. Amanda Nunes, looked at as the greatest of all time. Massive favorite in the first fight with Juliana Pena. Lost. Coming into the rematch, Amanda Nunes is the favorite again. We're cashing in on Juliana Pena tomorrow night. Let's go. All right?
Well, you are, but AJ is not, though. AJ's going against you. So that makes it fun when you guys are against each other.
Yeah, well, it makes it more fun when I'm right and we're against each other. And I'm going to be right again. I'm very confident in this. We're going with Juliana Pena. Team Dave going hard on Juliana Pena tomorrow night. Let's go! UFC 277 watch along and the SummerSlam post show all happening at the same time tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing excellent.